over death, hell, sin, and the grave. Amen? Because He is our Savior, He's our Lord, He's the one that sustains us. Turn with me, if you will, in Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to read the entirety of that chapter. It is the prophecy that Isaiah gives to Jerusalem. In Isaiah 52, he is prophesying that Jerusalem will be spared. Today, you and I have the promise of Christ in our lives because we are a child of God. And that is the new covenant with Christ today. We become His children. We become His church. We are His bride of Christ. And so today we rejoice in knowing that Jesus died that we might have life, that the Savior that God prophesied of all through Hebrew history is Jesus. And today we can celebrate that He has come. We celebrated His birth. Now we can celebrate that great resurrection that He gave. He is our King today. And as you heard, Shadrach, Meshach, Lockridge is who that man was who was sharing about the attributes of Jesus. Brother Lockridge does so eloquently explain that's who our King is and all the attributes that go with Him. Those are the reasons that we praise Him today. It's the reason that we're here today. It's the reason that we're excited about what Jesus will do in the upcoming years ahead of us. But I want us to focus a little beyond just 2017. I want us to begin to focus on eternity. What is eternity going to be? Isaiah prophesies of Jerusalem being spared, and he asks, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Here God reminds us that Jesus will come as a servant, an unlikely servant, an unlikely Savior. And so today it should be no surprise to us that the world doesn't accept Him, that He is rejected, that His ways are not the ways of the world. And we're reminded that there is really nothing about Him that will draw us to Him. He's not particularly handsome. He's going to be very common. He's going to grow up before the Lord out of the very center of the earth. And there's no beauty in Him, nothing that would desire to bring Him to us or draw us to Him. He'll be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We'll be ashamed of Him. And man will destroy Him. What a prophecy this is when you place it in the era and the time in which it was given. And the people here are looking for this triumphant King. And all of a sudden Isaiah paints this picture of the humble Jesus that we now looking back on can see so clearly. But they could not even fathom. Verse 4, "Surely He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteem Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all." Now, folks, you glean out of that passage anything you want to, but here's what I glean out of it. My past sins, my present sins, and my future sins He bore for me. His faithfulness never stopped because my faithfulness ceased. His faithfulness to God didn't stop because I rejected, or I changed my mind, or I turned away. His iniquity, the iniquity of us all, became His upon Him. That's what our King did. That's what this infant wrapped in swaddling clothes, that's what he would become, not just for Israel, not just for a people that God had selected, but that whosoever may come will come. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned. That idea of turning means I was going in the right direction at one time, and I turned. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The older I get, the more prideful I realize that I am, and the more arrogant that I recognize I have been throughout my life. You see, I believe the world really did revolve around me and what I was doing. Didn't you? We went to see my dad's wife, Hermeline, yesterday, and Hannibal have Christmas with her. And on the way up in the car, I reminded Tamara that she was only here because she showed up. When she's away from me, she doesn't really exist. Now, you all know that philosophy of us being the center of the universe and everything evolving around us, and that's the arrogance and the pridefulness of mankind. And we sometimes think that God entered into my life. Man, that's arrogant in itself, is it not? For he created us and formed us in the very wombs of our mothers. And he breathed into us the gift, the breath of life. And we became a living soul. Man, I am here at his good pleasure. And I have an opportunity to serve him because he loved me so. It was my sin that took him to the cross. It was for me that he was bruised. His chastisement was for me and is upon me. And his stripes are what healed me. And even though I go astray, my iniquity is laid upon him. Verse 7 says he was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before his shears, he was silent. You know, isn't it amazing that Jesus went as a suffering servant that seemed to be absolutely unable to change his circumstances? And yet, he could have called 10,000 angels. You remember? You remember that old song? He could have called 10,000 angels to come and rescue him. As a matter of fact, in my imagination, in my mind, as I think about heaven that day, and God turned to him and said, "Today you go and you intercede for mankind," I imagine all of the angels watched as he stepped from the right hand of the Father, where he had always sat for all eternity. And he went through the curtain of eternity, and he came to earth as a child, and before heaven knew it, the trial was happening, the rejection was happening, the crucifixion was happening. Can you imagine the angels on that day? What they must have been saying, "Oh, Father, turn us loose. Let us go. We'll take care of him." Gabriel must have said, "Lord, I don't need all the rest of them. Just one. Just let me go. I'll fix it." Yet our Heavenly Father, with the approval of his Son, said, "No. No, we're going to stay right where we are. And we're going to allow the sinful deed of man to be done. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son." He became the sacrificial lamb. He became the lamb that we would put upon the altar. He became the lamb that provided our salvation. He became the payment, the propitiation for my sin. And he willingly, willfully went to the cross. He wasn't some humble lamb that couldn't contain itself, that had no authority. He was a roaring lion walking willingly in obedience to the place that God would have him to walk. So strength is not the ability and the power to be greater than others. It's the ability to control that which you have to use for the purpose of others. His strength. He was oppressed and afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He was led to the slaughter as a sheep before his shears. He was silent. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgments. And who will declare his generation? Ask yourself that question today. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. He was sinless. He was without flaw. He was perfect. Sin had tempted him, but never conquered him. Temptation had come to him, but he never yielded. He remained obedient throughout his entire life to the wishes of his heavenly Father. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a King. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he poured his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the life of the transgressors. You see, the Bible is clear. Isaiah is clear in reminding us that Jesus did what he did because he chose to be obedient to the Father, and he chose to be part of the solution of the plan that God and he and the Holy Spirit had made years before the earth was ever created. He knew that he would be the suffering servant. He knew that he would pay the penalty of sin. That he knew that he would overcome death, hell, sin, and the grave for us. And yet he willingly never turned away, never quit, never grew weary, but continued forward in all that he had done. Today you talk about an encouragement to me. Man, I've spent some time this year looking back, reflecting, thinking about I'm 60 years old. I've been in ministry. I've been pastoring for over 40-some years, both full-time and bivocationally. 17 years there that I was without full-time ministry. But from the very beginning, 1974 until today, God has been faithful to bless that which I would give to him. Not always has it been what he deserved. Not always has it been my very best, but everything that I gave to him, he has taken and used for his good pleasure. He has blessed and touched. Folks, I can tell you today, we stand on a glorious day. Some of you may have forgotten, but this preacher hadn't forgotten. When I came to you, I thought you had the insurmountable task ahead of you. I came and looked and saw the attendance of this church and saw the indebtedness that they were headed to and saw the building that you were going to build. And while I was excited to come, I was a little scared. What if? Have you thought about it? What if we didn't make the payment on this building? What if God hadn't blessed our church to grow? What if our attendance hadn't moved from about 145 in Sunday school to up over 200 and our attendance from about 160 to about 300 to 350, what would have happened to this place? Man, you may not have thought about that, but I've wrung my hands in the office of many a day
when we needed $9,000 in the budget and we got five, or we got 47. And I would say to myself, man, I want to go into LP's office and I want to cry and have a pity party and I want to explain what dire straits we're in. But instead, I refused to do that. And God said, you listen to me, you be faithful with me. If I led you here, I called you, I equipped you, I have a plan. And faithfully we move forward, trusting God every single day. Don't be foolish and get caught up in praising ourselves for what we have done. While it's a glorious day, and I want to celebrate, and I thank God for all that we've done, but He has brought us down a journey that He could have cured so easily. It only took one multimillionaire, right? All we needed was Derek Jeter to come and see our church and say, man, I want to help that out. Bingo, that's gone. Why, he spent that much money on shoes. God didn't use a plan that he had to use. He used a plan that he constructed, and he grew, a church, and he brought us to a place of understanding his ways, of trusting him, of depending upon him, and no one gets to look back on $2.8 million and say, well, it was me. Oh, no. It was God using us. The truth of the matter, a bunch of manger children, right? A bunch of nobodies, a bunch of everyday Joes who came together and said, hey, we're going to trust God and we're going to build. And trust me, there were those who said, you can't do it. It won't happen. There were those that said, you got to do it this way. Friends, today we simply placed our hand in the hand of the man. And we said, we want you to lead us. And oh my, how I wish he would have led us down a different path. Oh my, if Derek Jeter still wanted to donate $1 million, I'd sure take it. Wouldn't you? Sure. But looking back on the path God has brought us from, it does for me what it did for the psalmist David when he wrote that 23rd Psalm, that psalm that we cherish and we hold so dear. You see, he had walked a day or two with his Lord. He had looked into the eyes of a bear. He had looked into the eyes of a lion. He had looked into the eyes of those who troubled him. And always he had been dependent upon trusting God, even the day that he looked into the eyes of the giant. He said, my God has been faithful. He pointed his finger at old Goliath and said, today I will feed your carcass to the birds, the fowls of the air. For the name of Jehovah shall not be defiled. Friends, today, I'd love for the world to trust Jesus. I'd love for the world to come to know him. It is our purpose and our task to evangelize every person on this planet. But whether the world politically, socially, any other way turns to Christ, it will make no difference in his lordship. He is still King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Listen, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, as I look forward in the year 2017, I feel the same way as I did in 1974. Lord, we've got so much to do. So little time to do it. God, put me where you want me to be. Help me to have the energy to go and do it. Help me to have the enthusiasm to be as on fire as I could possibly be. Help me to believe that you are invincible. You're indescribable. It's nothing that can stop us. And Lord, help us to be faithful to the purpose that you've called us to. Church, today we have to remain single-focused. Our task at Union Hill Baptist Church for the next year is to win the lost in Holt Summit, Missouri, and everyone who comes in contact with us. I'm going to say it again. Our job at Union Hill Baptist Church is to win the lost in Holt Summit and everybody who comes in contact with us. Amen? That's exactly our task. And today, we must be as energetic, as on fire, as encouraged, use every resource, every availability that is with us to reach into our community to win the lost. Whether we understand those things or whether we don't, God help us reach our community for Christ. This morning, as David wrote that psalm, he looked back on a history of trusting and faithfully walking with God. He looked forward beyond the shadow of death. So this morning, my hope and prayer is that I can leave a place where those who follow after me will be able to stand. Not a rickety old, raggedy old, shaky place, but a place that they can come and stand and say, man, this is solid. We don't have to worry about this. And reach into tomorrow. Isaiah prophesied of the coming king through the power of the Holy Spirit some 700 years before he came. I wonder what I'm saying to the generation 700 years away from here today. Sometimes our vision is too small, and our vision has to be focused on Him. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it reminds us that if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. For with heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Folks, that's all there is to it. There's nothing more, and there's nothing less. It's not complex, it's not difficult. But the world will reject it. But it doesn't change that it's true. It doesn't diminish in the slightest bit that there is only one name under heaven whereby man shall be saved. And that name is Jesus. And that should be what drives us with tenacity, drives us with energy to share the blessed story of Jesus, his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. For in that life, we find the gospel, the plan, the mercy, the grace that's sufficient for every need. If you're here today and you don't know him, you've never trusted him, you've never placed your faith in him, I encourage you to do that today. If you've never done it, come forward. Take me by the hand. Say, Brother Frank, I'm ready to put my trust, my faith, my belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've done that years ago. And maybe like me, through the years, you have realized, man, there are times I've been very, very faithful. Times I've been very good at doing what I needed to do. But then there's other times that I haven't been so very good. And I need to come and recommit my heart to Him. And so this morning, you want to begin this year off with a brand new slate. You've already got perfect attendance going. Good job. Right? 2017, I'd tell everybody you see this week, I've got perfect attendance. I've had it all year. And then do your best to be here next week. Right? You already got perfect attendance going. For 2017, you're ready to say, Lord, I want my life to make the difference that I've always known it was supposed to make. No greater day than this day to say, I got to begin. Today is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Will you pray with me? Father, we are notorious for procrastinating that which we know we need to do. Father, there will be all kinds of resolutions made today. Father, I pray the church will not make a resolution, but will make a recommitment to their Savior, that we will do all we can do to spread the gospel in the places that you have placed us. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us share your story that others might come to know you and that your name might be glorified above every name. Father, speak to us this morning. If there are decisions that need to be made, Lord, we pray you make them here today. Father, we ask your blessing upon this church, our efforts as members of this church to reach into our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to sing. You come as we sing this hymn of invitation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.